So my name's Alex. I'm at Bible College, as we know. I got called to Bible College a long time ago, and God saw fit to send me there when I had a really good job and two kids and a life. But he's in charge, right? So I used to be a drug addict. I was a drug addict for 12 years. I was a thief, all that kind of background. So God saved me from this really desperate pit. So that's a little bit about me, just for those who don't know who I am. I'm not a drug addict anymore, which is good, because I'm in Bible College. So you're currently going through a series of Jesus, the Fulfillment of Promises, and this is a really, really great series to be on. And it's really great that I'm a part of this too. When Kevin asked which one I wanted to do, I chose the promises Jesus fulfilling King, which is such a good one for me. I love Jesus. I think we all love Jesus, but I just love saying his name. So I'm gonna say Jesus a lot. But yeah, so we're looking at how Jesus in the Old Testament has fulfilled the promise of being a king. So we know when we read our Bibles, we have the New Testament of what Jesus did, what the apostles did, the letters the apostles wrote, but we also have the Old Testament. If you don't read it, I really want you to read it, because it's so full of verifications. It's so full of prophecies that have come true. And it really gives weight to Jesus being the king. It really gives weight to Jesus being the Messiah, your Messiah. Okay. So if you're not in the Old Testament, get yourself in there. It can get a bit crazy, especially through like the Joshua and places like that. But it's really good, and just remember Jesus when you're reading it. So there's a couple of people getting baptized. Are they in today? Are they in youth? Okay, I was going to get them to come. I want to pray with them later. Obviously, get some adults with us as well. I'm just going to go with this. If people haven't been baptized, like, think about it, because it's exciting. It's not just exciting for you. It's excited for those around you. I gave my life at a baptism, so I accepted Jesus at a baptism. So if you're sitting here and you haven't been baptized, go speak to one of the leadership team. Have a little pray. Amazing. So, let's get on it. Christ the coming King. We're going to break this passage into two. The first being what's happened, and the second being what's yet to happen. So the first part of this passage, Zechariah 9, verse 9, is what we see in... Turn to me, guys. There we go. I can't find it. Do you hate it when it moves? There we go. So it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, we all know what happened when Jesus came to Jerusalem. It's in the Gospels. He came riding on a colt and a donkey. What we haven't seen happen is from verse 10 to the end of it. So I'm going to be talking firstly about this first verse. We're going to look at a few more Old Testament passages that back this verse up. And I'm going to be saying this as this was Christ's inauguration. And an inauguration is just a big word. I'm not into big words, so I'm going to explain it. It's just going into an office, basically, when you gain a position in office. So a king goes through a process before he's given kingship. So Jesus had to go through a process before he was given the kingship. Yeah. And then the second part is we're going to look at what it cost him to gain that crown. Okay, so believe me, Jesus wears the crown. And this is a beautiful thing and a beautiful promise. What he went through on that cross gave him the crown. And he did it for you. I'm not going to say too much, so I'm going to jump ahead. So let me tell you a little bit about Zechariah. Zechariah is known as the prophet of hope and glory, which is great because lots of the other prophets do not share hope and glory. That's Lois, you're going down. You've been naughty. Say sorry. So Zechariah had it good. You know, Jeremiah was locked in jail because he kept telling the king off. But Zechariah had some really great messages that he shared. So I'm going to give you a few dates, and I'm not doing this because I want you to see how good I am doing at Bible college, which I am doing pretty good at Bible college. But I'm giving you some dates just so you can see sometimes there's a lengthy wait when a promise is given and a promise is fulfilled. Okay, so Zechariah was prophesying around 520 BCE. That's what the really clever people say, not me. I've just copied them. So put that into perspective, that's 600 years before Jesus came. Another quick side note on that is there was a time in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the world, I suppose, where God went silent. He didn't speak to his people through prophets for 400 years before John the prophet came on earth. And this was one of the last messages given, which it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when I say that, because it's a really important message. The most important message, there's a lots of them in the Old Testament, but the most important message we have today is Jesus said he was going to do this, and then Jesus did this. And this is why you're in these Old Testament passages looking at the promises. So when somebody tests you or somebody says, "Are you feeling a little bit down?" It was promised and it happened. Jesus did every single one of them. It's impossible for him not to have done it. So there's a theory. Jesus was either true, Jesus was insane, or Jesus was fully evil, because he did every single prophecy that was told about him before his death. This is fabulous. Absolutely blows my mind. So I wonder, have any of you have been given a promise? Have you heard from God and God said, "Right, I'm going to do something for you"? I'll leave it there. So verse 9, it shows his inauguration, his process to being a king. There's me two, broken into two there. I've been trying my hand at Canva to create my own slides, so bear with me. I'm just figuring it out. There's a big chunk of what he has done and what he's going to do. So if we can go to Psalms 22, I'm not going to read the whole Psalm because it's quite large. I'm just going to pick some stuff out. There's a little bit of homework. Read Psalm 22. Do you know why Psalm 22 is important? Anyone want to put their hand up? I like an interactiveness. Anybody want to pick a hand? I'm going to pick on Kevin. Tell us, Kevin. Shout as loud as you can. That's absolutely right. So Kevin just said it was when Jesus was dying on the cross. It was the first verse in Psalms 22, and this is important because when Jesus spoke, he always spoke back to the prophets. In his time, it wasn't called the Old Testament; it was just the Testament. But when he was speaking, he would always go back to them for verification. This is why we can have our verification from the Old Testament. So verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that was the word that Jesus said on the cross, okay? Understand that he was dying from asphyxiation. Asphyxiation? He couldn't breathe. What's the word? Suffocation. I can't say it. Asphyxiation. Yes. There we go. I can stop preaching now. So he couldn't go on to say the rest, okay? So he shared that, and understand the Pharisees and the leaders would have known exactly what he was saying, as he did the whole way along. So this is important. So within this chapter, it says he was forsaken for us, for you, for me. Understand this? Whoever the psalmist wrote this, but he's reading it to you sitting here. Do you ever feel like that when you're reading the Bible, or are you just thinking, "Oh, it's just a book, whatever"? He's reading it to you. You get that? So he was forsaken for you, for me. He was hated by everyone for you, for me. He was broken for you, for me. His possessions were stolen, and then they were shared out in front of him for you and for me. Turn to Isaiah 53, please. That's it. This one I put in a bookmark. That's good. So it's not going to lose. I'm going to read the whole passage of Scripture. So Isaiah 53, verse 7, finishing on verse 12. So he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. That's ours, guys. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. That's important. He didn't just do violence, he undone violence. When Peter chopped the ear of the guard off, my guy put it back on for him. They killed him still. Yet as it was the Lord's will to crush him, that's Yahweh, that's God's will, to crush his son, my goodness. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. By my righteousness, so by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquity. Understand, this is to you guys. So who are these people? After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. Us. They'll bear our iniquities. That is such a great blessing. A king doing that. A king doing that. It's not what our kings do today, is it? Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for transgressors. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So this was Jesus' inauguration. That's how Jesus came into office. He had to go and die on a cross. What a guy. What a guy. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So, Isaiah, I'm not gonna try and did I press loads of buttons? Oh, I did. Sorry, guys. Ah. It's not me, that's good. That gives me time to find where I am. No, I found it. So I'm not gonna try and see when the psalmist wrote the Psalms, but I will talk about Isaiah. Isaiah wasn't a prophet of hope and glory. He did a lot of telling people off. I got my call to ministry through Isaiah chapter 6, and it's a popular passage when God, Yahweh himself, is asking who will go? Who will go and speak for me? And Isaiah says, I'll go. Yeah, I don't think he was like this. Imagine going this to the king. I think he was on his face, like, oh, Jesus, oh, I'll go. So I really connect with Isaiah, and I love to read his passages. But just understand that this was written around 740 BCE. That's like 800 years before Jesus was born. Do you understand that? 800, that's a long time, isn't it? Yeah? Have you been given a promise? Remember what I said earlier? Have you been given a promise? Has God called something on your life? It doesn't happen all the time straight away. Hundreds of years passed. We can get impatient. I get impatient. So God called me to ministry like almost as soon as I got saved. Because I'm like, oh, I'm out and I'm, yeah, let's go. He made me wait 9 years before. And I even tried to go to Bible college and it didn't work. 9 years I had to wait. So has God promised you something? Has he? I want you to think about it in your head as we're talking. Has God promised me something? Because he delivers. So, leadership team, can you please stand up? Yeah, stand up, leadership team, please. Come on. Come on. Brilliant. So there's a promise. You're waiting for a minister to come. It's taken a long time, but he's coming. He's still got about 2.5 years in Bible college. Okay. No, sit down, you're right. No, genuinely, it's been a long time, but I want you to know he is coming. God has got somebody for you, and he's going to bless you guys, okay? You can sit down now, that's fine. I'm glad you guys found that funny, that's all right. I'm like, no, I really need a job after this. So, hey, here's Charlie boy. He's a bit poorly. Are we praying for King Charles? You should be. The Bible says so. Regardless of where you sit on the royal family, we need to pray for him because he's our king. All right? When we look through Scripture, there's so much that points to something else. All the way through Scripture, I was talking to Kevin the other day. He came up and see me. And if we look at David, lots of theologians, it's just a fancy word for someone who's really good at reading the Bible and doing stuff. They would say that David was a kind of Jesus. If you read right back in Genesis, the high priest of Salem, Melchizedek, they call him a kind of Jesus. So we're given times in history where it's given to us in a little bit of a picture. We have a king who's a kind, he's not a kind of Jesus, but he's a kind of king. Yeah? He's a king, but he's not the king. Okay? So how do we treat our king? Who we see? See him on the news? We don't see him at the moment because he's really poorly. But how do we treat him? And do we pray for him? How do we treat our true king, Jesus? Are we praying for him? Are we praying to him? Are we talking with him? There's kinds of things that go through. For him to become king, he needed only to be born and, like, don't do anything too ridiculous. That's all he had to do to be king. And he kind of rules England. I don't know the laws and stuff behind it. But as we've seen in Psalms 22, in Isaiah 53, in loads of scriptures, all the way, if we can go all the way to Genesis, when it talks, when Judah, the man Judah himself, not the tribe of Judah, the man Judah, is told by his dad that a scepter will come from you. All through scripture, it tells of Jesus coming as king and what he's going to do to become king for you. And he did that. I'm going to say it again. He was pierced for you. He was killed for you. He was scourged for you. He was ridiculed for you and me. Don't be sad, though, because he wanted to do this. Can you imagine? The King of Glory. Like, there's no difference between Jesus and God. They are the same being. The same being. The all-powerful God came to earth and died for you, as promised in the Old Testament and fulfilled. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about it. Probably lots of other people talk about it. For you. He had to go through such an ordeal. It wasn't just given to him. Although he took his crown off, come to earth. As a servant, Philippians says, he came as a servant, which is like a slave. The actual Greek word is like slave, you know, someone that doesn't do what they want to do, but only does what other people want to do. The King of Glory, the one that in 1 John says it came from him, the world was through him and by him, and nothing was made but by him. That's Jesus. That's the guy that came to earth for you guys, for me. Come on, what a blessing. What a blessing. That is a promise fulfilled, but there's more promise to come. I've just gone all over the place. So, the last part of our message, the last part of the passage. From verse 10 to 13. So we know that Jesus came. We know that he was promised to come. And because it was promised, he did. And he did it in the way it was promised. We have another promise. I'm going to go back. Verse 10. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bows will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from the sea to the sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, Jesus' blood on the cross, come on, hallelujah, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pits. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow, and I will fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. I'm going to carry on because this talks even further out what happens to his people. Verse 14 says, then the Lord will appear over them. His arrows will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. He will march in the storms of the south, and the army almighty will shield them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. You know when you read the Bible and you read it loads of times and something just pops out at you? That word has never popped out at me until literally right now. So do you know what? I think it's from God, so I'm going to say it. Sling stones. Who else used a sling stone? David. And David's a kind of Jesus, isn't he? Eh? Come on, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. So we're going back onto it. They will drink and roar as with wine. They will be full like a bowl used for sprinkling the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. That's you guys' promise. Because he came, because he died, you have that promise that you're going to sparkle in his kingdom like precious jewels. How attractive and beautiful will they be? Grain will make the young men thrive and new wine the young women. So it's talking about when Jesus comes next. You know, we've talked about what the Old Testament says Jesus was going to do, and now we're talking about what the Old Testament still says Jesus is going to do. All right, and when he comes, he came as a lamb the first time. He's not coming as a lamb; he's coming as a lion, and he's going to bring order to the world. Righteous order. I'm not saying he's like, you know, oh, you know, war's really bad. Sorry, it's okay. War's really bad, but God's coming with his righteousness to come. When he does it, he'll stop war afterwards. He'll teach peace, and he'll wipe every tear from everyone's eyes. That's in Revelations. It talks about that. He will only reign with us forever, and he will be ours forever. I want you to, when I said that, has God given you a promise? Okay, has he given you a promise? I'm going to ask it again. I want you to think. I'm going to stop for a second. Close your eyes, please. I'm going to close mine. Has he given you a promise? Try to remember the promises he's given you. If he hasn't given you a promise, you know, you can ask him. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, which is literally a direct link to God. It's God living in you. 700 years, 400 years. Measly 9 years. All right? Hold on to the promise of God. You can open your eyes now. That's okay. I was doing a little dance. No, I wasn't really. So what I'm saying is it's not straight away. Some people get a call on their life, boom, they're gone. Some people it takes a long time. Some people are like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit older now. Doesn't matter if you're old. Doesn't matter if you're young. Timothy was maybe around 14 years old and he led the church in Ephesus. Moses, I don't even know how old he was. He was old when he was called to leave Egypt with the Israelites. I've got to ask a question at the beginning. What would you say to people who have a call on their lives? I don't want to say too much because my whole message is about Jesus fulfilling a promise and Jesus coming to fulfill a promise. And that because Jesus fulfills promise, that when he promises us, it gets fulfilled. You need to think about what God's got on your life. Because I'm promising you there's something for everybody. Well, not everyone's an evangelist, not everyone does this, not everyone does that, but there's a fivefold ministry. What can we do to help the church? Yeah? I was preaching in a church a couple of weeks ago, and the minister there is really pastoral. He goes and visits lots of people. And I said to him, you know, he does that, and rightly so, right? And they went, yeah, you should, yeah. And I went, so should you. And it went quiet. And it went quiet. Not because they don't do it, because it just, you understand. The minister or your leadership team have got jobs to do, but so have you guys. So have I. So is my Jamesy. Even he's all like, whoa, he's got a calling on his life. So I want you to really think about how God's spoken to you. And if he hasn't, or if you don't know if he has, come and speak to me. I'll pray with you. If it's to Bible college, if you think God's called you to Bible college, come and speak to me. I can tell you what my college is like anyway. I can tell you if you've got a family, what the effects are on that kind of stuff. Just be ready for it. Yeah? And we can ask him for verification. And it's not like, it doesn't annoy him. You know? You know, does anyone know the story about the fleece? I can't, it's the guy's name, Jay. It starts with a J. Anyone say it? Gideon. It's not even a J, it's a G. Gideon. Gideon. So Gideon, he laid a fleece because he wanted to know, it's a big story about a war, and in the end, God said, give all your men away and just take a few. But he placed a fleece. Lord, let it be wet on the ground and not wet on the fleece. And he woke up in the morning, and as he was said, oh, I don't really know. He says, oh, I kind of don't know if I was right. Just do it the opposite way now. And he did. He wasn't told off for it. He did, and it was. So I'm not asking you to go and kill a sheep and, you know, make it into a fleece and put it in the baptismal tank. But what I'm saying is you can ask these questions of God. Yeah? You can ask them, and he can answer them. I'm not going to say he'll answer them in this way or that way or this way or that way. But again, we have promises in the Old Testament that are fulfilled, which means we have promises that we can do that will be fulfilled. So, back to our king. I've gone the wrong way. There he is. I'm still used to this clicker thing. It's the first time I used the clicker. Oh, bless her. Sweet little lady. So, King Charles. Back in the day, when you wanted to ask something, to do something, you would go to the king. You would have an audience with the king. You would ask the king. And he would either say yes or no, right? Yeah? Yeah. If you know, that's what happens. Obviously, like, I wasn't born then, because I'm only young, 100 years ago. We do that today. How I've just said a second ago, that's how we do today. We have an issue. We come to Jesus in prayer, and he says yes or no. Jesus does that now. King Charles, I don't know what he does, but we have a king that we need to pray for, and our king is just so much better. Look at what we have and think about what we're going to have. Yeah, that's it. Yes, come on. I'm in a Pentecostal college at the minute, so it's all like, yeah, hallelujah. Wah! So I'm like, I'm craving attention from you all. Yeah. So, I want to be really practical, and I don't know everybody here. I don't know if everyone loves Jesus. I don't know if everybody follows Jesus or if everyone is on fire for Jesus. And sometimes at Bible College, I'm still not on fire for Jesus. But I want to know that if you're feeling a little bit far away from Jesus or if you don't know Jesus, Jesus is there. If you feel him or not. Again, this is a funny thing to say from a Pentecostal college. Oh, you've got to have feelings. But just because you don't feel Jesus doesn't mean he's not there. Okay? Sometimes it's silent. Sometimes you might do something and you think, oh, no, he doesn't love me anymore. I've done this. And I've done loads of stuff. Before I went to Bible college, I was fiddling my taxes. And that's obviously illegal. But obviously not okay. And God told me, what are you doing? Tap me on the shoulder. Literally, like, I was driving. I just felt, and then he said, put a sermon on. I put a sermon on, and this guy just said, when you work for people, work as if you're working for the Lord. Just because everybody does something, don't you do it. And that's what my manager said to me about doing what I was doing to save some money. What I'm saying is, just because if you're in a low place where you just haven't felt God, he hasn't left you, there's a storm. I want to tell you a picture that God gave me once. And it was a time, because I've had a few lows in these eight years. I I was far from God, and I was complaining, God, why can't I feel you? Why can't I feel you? I'm asking you questions. What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. Jesus must have got sick of me whining, so he gave me a picture. And in this picture, I was walking, and I was holding Jesus' hand, and it's nice and beautiful. Usually when God speaks to me in dreams, it's usually really quite frightening, but this was really, like, dreamy. And we're walking down, I don't know where, it just didn't matter where we were, but we were walking. Beautiful sunshine. And then I just let go of his hand, and he doesn't move, he just stops. But as he moves, everything goes into a big storm. Everything goes into a big storm, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what's going on? Oh, you've left me, you've left me, you've left me. And I start hearing his voice. I start hearing the voice, hearing Jesus' voice. And I look into it, and I just see a hand, exactly where I left it. Exactly where, and I grabbed it, and as soon as I grabbed it, I was walking again. Who needs that? Who needs to know that right now? Who needs to know that you can reach out to Jesus? Yeah? Jesus says, all people come to me because my burden is... There's lots of communication. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. Jesus wants to grab your hand and lift you up. Lift you up to a life where you live forever and understand it's real. Even as Christians, some people here, many years, we can think it's just over there. Don't worry about that yet. It's over there. Jesus said the kingdom has come. Peace. The kingdom has come because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of what was promised in Zechariah, in Psalms. The kingdom has come. Reach for it. I'm gonna finish, and I want to just do something a little bit different, if that's okay, leadership team. I want to spend just maybe 2 or 3 minutes praying. Can I have a microphone? Because I want to travel around with a microphone. I'm a beatboxer. So I wanna just spend some time and pray for each other. Pray that you would listen, and that your brothers and sisters would listen for God's voice on God's call. That you would, yeah, just pray. If you want to put your hand up, then pray, that's fine. If not, I'll just pray the whole time.